This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. So if there is one company on the planet Earth or beyond that wants the iPhone 10 to do well other than Apple, it's actually Samsung. If that fails to make much of any sense, The Wall Street Journal's Trip Mickle can explain. He is patching in from San Francisco to break it all down for us right now. Welcome back, Trip.
Hey, Tanya.
So your latest piece is another reminder of this weird love-hate dynamic between Apple and Samsung and how they're basically frenemies that need each other. And it all has to do with Samsung owning this giant components division that supplies screens and, you know, chips and stuff for both phones. Can you kind of talk us through this relationship and how it shakes down? It's very strange. And it's a very unique way business is being done.
Yeah, Samsung's been a big supplier to Apple for years. They supply a lot of the screens that go into iPhones. They supply a lot of the memory chips that go into iPhones. That's a longstanding relationship and one that you kind of had to scratch your head over for years because Apple had a famous lawsuit against Samsung for copying the iPhone and basically creating smartphones of its own that Apple felt were like way too dependent on some of the technology that Apple had developed in 2007.
So we talk about how weird this partnership is, but business rivals sometimes do depend on each other. Has this happened often in tech, though?
You know, I'm not familiar of any other great examples of it in tech. The kind of common terminology for this in business schools is co-opetition, and okay. You see it all the time. I mean, there was an example in the appliance industry years ago where LG Electronics was actually, I believe, making microwaves of its own, but also supplying microwave parts for rival GE, and they were competing against each other in stores for sales. And you see this often in the oil industry, where Shell and Exxon may team up on drilling rights in some regions of the world, but then go head to head with other partner, by choosing other partners in other regions. So it just varies across the industries.
What's interesting in how Apple and Samsung kind of take it to this next level, and another twist to this weird story is that Samsung actually stands to earn more from Apple than its own products. Is that correct?
It's a little more complicated than that in the sense that what's actually taking place here is Samsung will earn more in sales of components for the iPhone 10 than it will for the Samsung Galaxy S8. And so really what that statistic underscores is just how big and how valuable this iPhone 10 will be for Samsung. It's one of the most valuable devices that Samsung supplies components for, in part because Apple has switched to the OLED screens that Samsung pretty much has a 97% market share on. And those screens cost about double what Apple was using a year ago with LCD screens. And the person who's making all the money off of those screens is Samsung.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of clarifies that. Could this change at this point? Is there ever a potential scenario where Apple eases up on its reliance for outside parts?
Apple is already looking to reduce its dependency on Samsung. This is less than an ideal situation for them. They really don't like to have a single supplier of any component in the iPhone or any of their devices. But because Samsung was the one that really pioneered OLED screen technology and still has what amounts to a monopoly in developing that product, Apple didn't really have a choice. They're in the process of trying to support and encourage other screen developers or display developers as they move into OLED technology. And they hope that companies like Sharp Core and Japan Display can begin offering OLED screens in 2019. But for the foreseeable future, they have no choice but to work with Samsung.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Trip Mickle about the odd relationship between Samsung and Apple and how it will impact the iPhone 10. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Thanks for joining us. Trip, also unique to Samsung and Apple is their power, right? It's tough to really think of any two companies more profitable. So the question then becomes, could they have gotten to this height of power without each other?
Certainly not. I mean, we have this this crazy statistic where Apple and Samsung are expected to be the world's two most profitable companies in 2017, excluding wow. Chinese banks, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. And that really speaks to the benefits of this frenemy relationship and why you see it kind of go from, kind of more of the enemy equation about 6 years ago when Apple sued Samsung for what Apple alleged was copying some of the iPhone technology, to now and today where they seem to be a little bit more friendly with each other. Not only do you have this circumstance where their profitability is tethered to the success of the iPhone X for both companies, but you also have them working together on lawsuits against Qualcomm in some capacity, kind of teaming up on that as well. And so it's a frenemy dynamic. It flipped to either side, friend or foe, depending on what is going on in the world and what serves their interests at the time.
Yeah, it's very weird, and it's kind of fun to keep your eye on, if nothing else. Thanks a lot, Trip.
All right, thanks so much, Sonia.
Trip Mickle covers everything Apple-related for the Journal. Follow his latest at WSJ.com. This has been the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.